Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast,
the show comic
book club where we read a different trade paperback every week. Yep. I'm Daniel. He's Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do.
You can't, not going to take that from me.
Yeah. Maybe we should just switch off, and if we fuck up, then it just popcorns
like
over to the other
team.
Person. Yeah. And it's like, he needs help. Get in there.
It's like a relay race of doing the intro.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everybody. We got a doozy of a show this week because I got tons of news.
Yeah, tons of news.
I'm very excited to talk to you about. Very excited to talk to you about this book and maybe a little special segment that I thought of on the way here.
Oh, I like special segments.
Yeah.
Nathan, I'm just excited to talk to you.
I'm kidding. I love to conversate with you because that's the word.
Yeah.
But time codes are in the descriptions, I'm pretty sure. I think they make it to all the platforms. I'm not sure, though. So if they're not, just laugh at me. And if they are, then you could skip around to the news, to the book, or to the poll list, or to the back matter if you want. So we're going to get straight into the news. And tons of great stuff that happens, actually. One, the filmmakers behind Dr. Sleep are tackling the hot comic Something is Killing the Children.
Really?
Yeah. So
cool.
The sweet book by James Tynion, whoever the fuck, and an artist that I can't remember at this point. But
Did you read that?
Very visually pleasing book. Huh?
You read it?
Yeah. I read the first trade.
Pretty good?
I thought it was only a 5-issue series, and then by the time I realized that it wasn't just a 5-issue series, it was on like issue 9. So I was like, what the fuck? What happened? But yeah, pretty cool.
How honestly. Embarrassing.
So yeah, I think that's definitely going to be something that works as like a movie. Just
yeah,
based off the concept and everything.
Based off the name, I'm like, that sounds like an indie book.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, it's like that could work as like a like one of those low budget kind of movies.
Yeah, definitely something that will come out in October when there's a bunch of horror stuff coming out. And I think it'll really vibe with everybody. I could also see it as like a... as like a streaming movie as well. That would like be one of those ones where it like works really well.
Okay.
So pretty Sweet. Good.
Pretty good.
Tom King announced a book.
The Human week. Target.
The Human Target DC with Black Label book with
Chris Smallwood.
Nope.
What?
Greg Smallwood.
Oh shit. Oh wait. Oh okay.
Yeah. Greg Smallwood. So super, super exciting. It looks like it's a Justice League International kind of book with this dude named Christopher Chance. Maybe that's the Chris that you were thinking of.
Oh, maybe.
Who's the Human Target. And I guess that's a property that's existed at DC, the Human Target, but I did not know this. But it looks like a DC sort of espionage film with a bunch of Justice League International characters that are going to be a part of it.
Oh, it's actually part of the DC universe?
Yeah, yeah, because the cover has like a bunch of hands from like Blue Beetle, Green Lantern, Booster Gold, Batman, and stuff like that. So
it's not actually like a black label. It's like Black Label, but not like...
It's Black Label, but it's...
not in the sense like it's Vertigo kind of thing?
Yeah, it's not like an independent story. And there is a really, 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 really great thread that Greg Smallwood posted about his cover process. And he posted a couple exclusive like first looks at the book. But his process to like art is... insane.
Cool.
Yeah, so he goes really in depth there, so if anybody that's like a process geek is interested in that, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
So very excited about that. Greg Smallwood has done tons of awesome things, one of which was Moon Knight with Jeff Lemire, which I like quite a bit. He's done some Punisher with Matthew Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I know him from something, but I...
he's the one that looks kind of like... a lot of his art looks kind of chalky, almost, in like a good way.
Let's take
like
a look
a lot
here.
Of the brushes that he uses are... It looks like graphite or something, which kind of gives it its own sort of appeal.
Hmm. He's done a lot of Vampironica.
Yeah, Vampironica, I believe he wrote and drew. And that's like the third one that I know him from. I don't know. I don't really know him from anything else, I don't think.
Oh, I think I've seen him on like Harley Quinn Black and White. Is that him?
Yep. That's like an anthology book, but I'm sure he's been a part of it.
Okay. Nice.
But really great. really, really awesome stuff on Moon Knight. So pretty cool.
Nathan, the Witcher is getting an anime series.
Cool.
August 23rd comes out.
I feel like that would work pretty well.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know if everybody's like, I need more Witcher than what we're getting.
Yeah, because then I think...
because it's like, it works as a pretty good video game, you know, already. Mm-hmm. There's three of them.
Yeah.
And
there's
the
actually,
books.
There's actually a comic.
There's a comic,
adaptation.
Yeah. It's coming out right now, I believe.
So is it actually?
I want to say so.
I know there's like an older one too that maybe came out when the game came out, but
yeah. Mark Millar, however you say it,
Miller
announced a new Netflix comic book that he's coming out with called King of Spies. It's a spy espionage book, and it's first coming up as a graphic novel, but follows Britain's greatest secret agent who faces his deadliest enemy, his own mortality. When the world's most dangerous man goes rogue, time to go after the real monsters. So I don't really know what it's about. And also, what's kind of strange is in this announcement, they didn't announce who the artist is, just who did the cover art, which I think is very strange.
I think I saw someone complain about that on Twitter.
Like, I was like, I don't care. I want to know who the artist is, because like the cover art looks pretty good. It almost looks like Otto Schmidt, someone close to that.
Okay.
But I tried looking, and he just said who the cover artist was, but there's two variants already. So one that like...
Did it say like, when it was supposed to be releasing?
September, I think, is when you said.
I feel like they should definitely have an interior artist by now. Maybe it's just a...
They definitely do. I don't know why they... Well, I tried looking for it, and it was hard, so...
Ryan Reynolds posted a video of him as Deadpool and Korg.
I love Korg, dude.
And they're on the couch doing a reaction video to the Free Guy trailer.
Yes, I saw it.
And it's funny because they're both in...
Yeah,
like
the first ever
Taika Waititi and
crossover to Fox.
Yeah, so I guess it's Deadpool's officially in the canon. Marvel MCU.
It's canon.
That's what people are like advertising.
Or Korg
is
in Fox.
Maybe.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything either way, but I love Korg. He's like... He has some lines that are like some of my favorite in like the MCU in general.
Piss off, Ghost.
Or he's like, I tried to create a revolution, but I didn't print enough flyers. So no one showed up. Yeah, he's the best. Another DC Black Label thing got announced. The incredible Cliff Chiang returns to DC to write and illustrate the 4-issue Black Label series Catwoman Lonely City, debuting in October.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I love his stuff.
Have you read Cliff Chiang?
Not on the pod.
Really?
I don't think so.
What do I know him from?
Maybe. Let's look him up.
Oh, wait, no. Was he on Girls?
Yes, he is Paper Girls.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like he's bringing a lot of that same, like...
Vibes?
Yeah, a lot of those same vibes and a lot of those same, like, coloring. I don't think it's...
I was like, I've definitely read, like, an entire run of something he's done. And I'm like, what is it?
I have two. I just don't know what it is. It might have been, like, an Iron Fist thing, but give me 1 second.
That sounds right, but...
Cliff Chiang, creator. Okay. So he's done some Batman, apparently. Oh, Miss Marvel, Spider-Gwen.
Oh, yeah. That Miss Marvel run is like definitive, I'm pretty sure.
There's got to be another one. I think the big one's Miss Marvel, Paper Girls. There's a Shazam run. Maybe that's what I know him by.
Nice.
He's been on Transmetropolitan, apparently. Wonder Woman. Yeah. He did the Wonder Woman one that we read.
Oh, with Brian Azzarello?
Yes, the New 52 one.
That's right.
Yeah,
that shit really was good.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, pretty excited for this Catwoman one.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the cover, but it looks pretty vibey, like pretty Paper Girls vibey, you know?
That is really sick.
But with Gotham, so I'm very excited for that. You know the comic book Bone?
Yeah.
It turned 30 years old.
Shit. You know, yeah. That's not that surprising. I remember it being at like the book fairs when
that's
we were
like,
kids.
I think it's like probably the first comics we ever read.
Yeah, we didn't know. I didn't know that they were like comics though.
I didn't know what it was when I was reading it.
This is way better than word books.
I just know that I fucking liked it. You know, remember those like hairy creatures or whatever?
Yeah.
That would like attack them?
Yeah.
Those are the coolest looking things
as a kid.
And
all the books came in like these fat omnibuses you can get. That we just like had for some reason.
Yeah.
And they were so sick.
They were so fat.
And you could read them in like a half an hour.
Yeah. It was incredible. So yeah, turned 30.
Wow.
This week. And Jeff Smith, the creator, posted some pictures of him at his first con trying to pitch the book, and there's nobody at the booth line or whatever.
Oh man, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Like, and that's terrible for him, like at that time, you know?
Yeah.
But like just going from like no one wanting it to being like a huge book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So, pretty cool.
Pretty dope.
Congrats to Jeff Smith. We should read some stuff by him.
Like Bone.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
I think he came out with something a couple years ago.
He did a Shazam run.
Did he?
Yeah, which I really want to read.
Did he draw it or write it?
Both.
No.
Daniel, do you want to hear about another DC Black Label book?
I want to hear about all of them, Nathan. Tell me.
It's by Mattson Tomlin. Don't know that writer, but...
That sounds familiar.
Andrea Sorrentino.
Ooh.
Jordi Belair. Batman the Imposter is what it's called.
So it's not actually Batman? Or is he chasing down an
imposter? I don't know. I haven't read the book. We got to buy it.
Oh my God, Nathan. But
that's what the cover art looks like.
I expect you to know the plot details.
I don't. But I saw a teaser from him where he posted a DC Black Label thing. He said tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I better screenshot that for news. And then it turned tomorrow. And I was like, oh, here's the actual news.
Oh, it's tomorrow now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a Batman book. He posted like one or two pages from it that look pretty spicy.
Pretty spicy. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't think he's done Batman. Just kidding. I think he did the other.
Didn't he do that one with Jeff Lemire?
Jeff Lemire, huh?
I think so. I don't know if I have it.
This isn't going to be like the big one, though. I think it's just going to be a normal comic. But I don't know how many issues it's going to go. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's limited.
What do you mean the big one?
You know, the big comics that like a lot of the Black Label started out as.
Yeah, I think it's just like a normal.
Yeah. What do they call those?
I don't know, where it's like almost square.
Like, yeah, like
it's
records.
Not like, it's not like the prestige like format. It's like something.
It's like, they're like record size. Vinyl size.
They didn't really call them anything. And they fucking suck to have because they don't fit in long boxes.
They're like big boy size.
You just have to like put them with your trade.
Yeah. And then they look kind of weird.
Yeah.
So maybe.
It's not good for shelf presence.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear about more new series?
Real quick, Nathan.
Okay.
We lost another comic creator.
Yes.
Rest in peace to Robson Rocha.
Robson Rocha.
He's, unfortunately, I know him from Green Lanterns.
Yep.
He did the Rebirth series.
Mm-hmm.
He did some Aquaman with Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Which was pretty good from what I heard.
Yeah, he's done
some Justice League, Teen Titans.
Really, really just fire artist in general.
Yeah, it's super strong artwork.
So very unfortunate.
Yeah, and bummer.
Yeah, I remember reading his Green Lantern series, and he's very good at just like the little moments too. Like he's great with action, but the writer of that series, Sam Humphries, posted about it and just posted like a page where he could nail like the small moments and like the friendships together. So it's like this page right here where they're just kind of like sitting on Oa talking to each other, talking about life and how they're like pancakes or whatever, but you can kind of tell from both their positioning that they're comfortable with each other and friends, but it's like platonic at the same time. So
yeah, it's a great panel.
He's great at, you know, sort of those smaller moments like that. So yeah, huge loss. He died due to COVID complications apparently. So that's so shitty, dude.
I know.
It's
so like sudden.
Yeah. Fucked up. Two new series that got announced.
Damn, dude. I didn't even hear about any of these. That was all my news.
Well, I know them because there's two Matthew Rosenberg things that got announced from DC. We have Task Force Z.
Okay.
It's a Red Hood-led task force.
Made of zombies.
Yes.
No shit.
Yes.
That's so fucking cool.
Look how cool that is. And look at the DC villain that's at the very, very top there.
Oh my god, is that fucking...
That's Bloom.
Bloom, oh my god. I was like, Mr. Plant?
Yeah, Mr. Plant. Mr. Flower
I can't
face.
Believe they're bringing back Bloom, dude.
I knew they would bring him back at some point.
I don't know. I just thought it was like one of those villains that worked just really good in the Scott Snyder run. And like...
I think he's too good of a character to just like leave.
I loved that run. I thought it was really cool. This is like when I started picking up his run.
But how cool of an idea of that is just Red Hood... leading a team, and then just Task Force Z, you gotta think zombies.
I gotta buy the shit out of this.
Yeah, it looks really good.
When does this come out?
October-ish, I think.
Oh man, that's perfect.
Yeah,
I can't wait to read it.
Maybe September, but we got Rosenberg on it, and he tweeted about it, and he said, the basic idea behind Task Force Z is, what if we made the Suicide Squad even more fucked up? So yes, it's a story about weaponizing the dead, but it's also about redemption and second chances, and trying to prove you're more than your worst moments, and also eating people, is what he said. So pretty cool. And then another Matthew Rosenberg thing is DC versus Vampires. It's a
nice
12 issue series.
12
with Rosenberg. James Tynion is also on it, co-writing with him, and Otto Schmidt is going to be on it.
Okay,
so he's a really, really awesome writer. They both did Hawkeye Freefall together. So
okay.
Big fan of Otto Schmidt. He's also done like Green Arrow. He did the Rebirth Green Arrow in the beginning.
Oh, I read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So super good at what he does.
I think I just need like you to associate a series that I've seen him on in order for me to remember.
Yeah.
Unless I see them like all the time, it's not going to register.
He said that one's a 12-issue maxi series that sees the heroes of the DCU and maybe some of the villains fighting to save the planet from a vampire takeover. This one is epic and insane and some of the most fun I've had on a book in a long time, is what he said. So pretty cool.
Nice.
This isn't really news, but I thought it was interesting because I haven't seen something like it before.
Sure.
But you know Ninjak?
Yeah.
The Valiant.
Did it just reboot?
It did just reboot. It's and the writer, Jeff Parker, posted like one of the variants, and it's a glass variant. So it's like literally a variant that is like made of glass or acrylic, as he says, but they call it a glass variant. And I thought that was like the most interesting thing because I can't imagine how much of a pain in the dick that was to like print.
Hold on.
So, but like,
I don't think I understand what this is.
It's like, a variant.
What's acrylic look like?
It's like...
like nails?
No. What do you... yeah, I think so.
Like acrylic nails?
But they call it a glass variant. So it's actually like...
I was like, is this a fucking comic made out of glass?
Well, like the cover is.
They just like and fucking like stain kind of the glass.
Like the cover's like pretty thick too, because it's like obviously acrylic. You can't get it super thin. But I just thought that was interesting.
I bet you have to buy so many copies of this in order to get like that one variant.
One in 100.
Well, this means like there's only 100 made, right? Or you have to buy 100 in order to get the acrylic variant.
I think
variant.
That's what it means, but I don't know much about the economics of comics, so I don't know.
Yeah, normally those like really cool ones are like, oh, if you, order 20, then you get it.
Yeah, so pretty funny.
I almost bought the this like Skybound X variant that was like, it was like black and white, and it had Rick Grimes like 2,000 or 3,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, I almost picked it up and didn't see the price tag that said like $30 on it.
I'm
like,
oh shit.
No, fuck that.
Was it that much? I'd bought it.
No, it was like not worth it.
I read that this week. Pretty cool. I'll tell you about it later. Can't wait. Different segment.
Dude, did you know that the second one came out this week?
No, I didn't make it to the shop today.
Oh my God, neither did I. Fucked up. No, that's fine. But yeah, I guess it comes out weekly.
Oh shit.
Because it's, I guess, because what, the last one came out last week?
Nah.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago? Maybe last week.
Maybe. I don't know. It just seemed like too soon.
Yeah, I agree. Titans trailer and release August 12th is when Titans comes out, season 3.
I just looked at the stills because I don't really care to watch it, and looks pretty good.
Red Hood is a little funky looking to me.
Is it just the eyes?
It's like the whole mask. Like, he just looks like a confused Iron Man is what I've decided he looks
like. Oh, he looks kind of dorky.
Like. He does. It looks like Iron Man's like little cousin.
I think it's that angle, dude.
I think the angle's probably a little fucked. I don't think it really does it justice, but
nah, dude, hold on. I'll show you like the action stills.
Yeah. What's funny about this show is every season, every costume looks drastically different.
I kind of like that though.
I can
kind of improve on it, you know.
Except for Superboy, he's just wearing a
like. Look t-shirt. At this. This is what I saw. I'm like, oh, that looks dope. Like the dead-on ones.
Pretty cool.
I'm like, that looks way...
I like that way better. This one just makes him look like...
Ooh. It's because like he's turned to the side and he's looking back at you like some seductive pose.
Yeah, and it looks like he's doing like this with his eyes where like one's super wide open.
But he's not, and he's just like definitely a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Who approved that? Like all these look way better.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I feel like that's the main draw of this season is that Red Hood in live action, which we haven't seen before, right?
Was he not in last?
Robin was. Jason Todd Robin was, but we haven't seen like Red Hood.
It's honestly not that big of a deal, but cool. They got a big cast now. It's like
huge.
9 people.
They got Hawk and Dove.
Do they have Oracle?
I don't know who that is. Oracle definitely wasn't in the last season. So.
Is there Batgirl or anything?
I don't think so.
Maybe.
There's a Batman. So, I mean, like an actual Batman on screen.
It's like a woman in a wheelchair, which could mean anything, but I'm pretty sure it's Oracle.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
There's Beast Boy, Superboy. I think that's Donna Troy, who died last season at the end.
But
the
she's one that back,
I
told you. Baby.
I guess she's back good because her death is kind of dumb. And then Raven.
Was it like definitive that she died?
They like buried her, I think.
Oh.
So I'm glad she's back. That was a dumb way for her to die. But anyway, that's all I got for news.
Cool. Yeah, me too.
Tons of stuff. So we'll go into the book that we read this week, which was Superman, Last Son of Krypton by the late Richard Donner, who obviously did the Superman movies, the Goonies, apparently did Lethal Weapon. I just figured that out this week.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And tons of other stuff. And any one of those franchises, if he had just done that, he would have been an icon.
Right.
You know, because they're such good movies, good properties and everything. But he did a comic book, which is my favorite shit to see. Somebody in movies or whatever do a comic book.
Yeah, like Keanu Reeves.
That's good stuff.
Quentin Tarantino did one, I think.
Yes, he did. I especially like it when it's like they like want to do it, not because they want to like try and pitch a movie, but like they do it because
it's like for the medium and they know it probably couldn't be a movie.
Yeah, like I think JJ...
And they always like have like a comic writer with them because they don't really know how to
do this
medium, you know?
That's true.
Because like think about... You only used to reading scripts and stuff.
Yeah.
Then trying to translate that to an artist on what you want. So that's always cool to them to get involved.
Yeah. So this one was Richard Donner with Jeff Johns as a writer. And then Adam Kubert as the artist and Dave Stewart on colors.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And Brad Anderson was also in here, but I think he did the Gary Frank portion of this. So the trade that we got has Superman, Last Son of Krypton, and then there's like another trade tacked on to the back end of it that has nothing to do with like the Last Son of Krypton.
Yeah, it's like a deluxe, and then like the last four, and then an annual is like a different arc,
right?
That doesn't include Richard Donner. So we'll just do the first six,
mm-hmm.
and this arc is called Last Son.
Yes. So before we get into it, what'd you think?
You know, I was kind of caught off guard that it just ended, you know, because I thought there was more to it. Like when you read it thinking it's however long,
right?
You expect that. But I, right off the bat, I was super into this.
Me too.
I'm not super into Superman. I don't really read Superman unless it's on here or something.
Right.
Or he's in something else.
Mm-hmm.
But like right off the bat, I'm like, this is a good story. I'm into this.
This is like perfect Superman comics for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's, like, right in the era of Superman where there's not, like, a bunch of bullshit happening, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's no, like, twist to what his normal character is. It's just Clark Kent. He's dating Lois Lane. Jimmy Olsen doesn't know who he is. He's at the Daily Planet. You know, it's like
no one knows who he is, yeah.
It's all the good stuff.
Like, yeah, and this is, like,
very accessible.
Out of continuity.
I think. Sure.
No, it was in Action Comics.
It was in, like, the main Action Comics book, but, I mean, there's crises.
It stands alone, which is cool.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. But yeah, all that stuff that you like about Superman and you feel is like typical about Superman is in here, which is really accessible for me because I also don't read a whole lot of Superman.
Yeah.
The only Superman I've ever read is what we've done here.
All-Star.
Like All-Star, or I've read Bendis Superman.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Even that, he like kind of fucks with it a little bit because like John Kent is like a part of it and all that. So
yeah. You know, I was kind of hesitant. I'm like, maybe this won't be that good because I've never heard of it, you know, and
criminally underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like Geoff Johns doesn't do like everything perfect, but he's got some real heavy hitters and
for sure.
It works like really well with this.
And Adam Kubert, unreal.
Some of the best stuff.
My favorite Adam Kubert, probably.
Really?
Okay. I think so, because like there are some pages in here that are genuinely like just insane to look at because of how creative it is, like how he stretches the medium in like a couple of the issues. Like I really fucked with it quite a bit
for sure.
Very, very cool stuff.
I love when they just do like a zoom in on like the logo and then like pan out.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for that shit.
it's like
here's big, part of an S.
He's part of his chest. You can't even see it all because his chest is so big because he's so heroic. That's how it starts out.
He's so strong.
It does the All-Star Grant Morrison thing.
Yeah,
kind
of
deal.
I think that's probably why I liked it, because it just like reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's just like four simple panels. You're like, it's Superman, and then boom, more Superman, double page spread. That's how it starts.
Yeah,
but essentially. Issue one, it's good old Superman doing good old Superman things. And
good old stuff.
Like, he's at the Daily Planet, and he's talking to Perry White. And Perry White's like, where the fuck is my pictures of Superman?
Yeah.
Basically. And Jim Wilson's like, oh, I don't know. But then there's like a big, suddenly there's a roly-poly looking ship that's crash landing to Earth. And Superman has to like create an excuse to go stop it from hurting people.
Kind of looks like a croissant to me, but I see where you're coming from now that you say roly-poly.
Yeah, well, it's like half. It's like two croissants if they made a full circle.
Yeah.
That's what I would probably describe.
Or like a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Dude, someone ordered a large Crunchwrap and flung it.
It's like a fucking Taco Bell promotion.
And then they frisbeed it in the air. That's what it looks like, yeah.
Threw it at Superman for the promotional pics.
So, yeah, it's crash landing to Earth. Superman stops it before its impact, and he finds a boy inside. And he later finds out that the boy is super strong and can speak Kryptonese.
Oh, man. Must be Lantern.
Yeah. So, right off the bat, the ship is pretty unique, obviously, because it's an alien ship, and I like seeing alien ships that are like, how does that even work?
You know? Yeah, it just...
So, I like
it just
that.
Flies to the air.
When he opens the ship, the kid's like naked, and I'm like, it's a little bit weird.
How would he come, you know?
Yeah. And this, the first double page spread, actually, there's like a picture of just Superman looking up at Jor-El as like a hologram or whatever.
Yeah, I guess he's got,
and I'm like, what a banger cape.
Oh, yeah.
I think capes are like crazy, and sometimes they can be like a little bit weird for people to draw, but I think he nails it. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the best cape.
Some of the best cape action for sure.
Yeah.
I guess Jor-El, there's like a AI in his ship.
Yeah, that's like how it is in, like Man of Steel.
I don't remember.
And like Superman. It's played by...
It's also in here.
Yeah, it's also in here.
Gerard Butler.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a kid inside. Speaks Kryptonese.
Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I get them mixed up like, so much.
They look kind of the same, just one's older, I think.
Yeah, and like I feel like just the movies that they're on are basically the same.
Both just apocalypse movies.
If I was hosting like a movie of trivia night and someone guessed him for like, I don't know,
that'd be the
bounty hunter. I'm like, it's like Russell Crowe. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
I feel let's like, move on. I feel like that'd be a good question on Jeopardy. Is just post Russell Crowe's face and is it like, is this Russell Crowe? And it would be just as hard as any of the other Jeopardy questions.
It's like,
oh God, Russell.
Who was in 300?
I'm Russell. Like, I don't know. Russell Butler. But yeah, Kryptonese. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Have you?
I thought it was just Kryptonian is what they spoke.
I didn't know there's a language.
Yeah. Which, like, the language is really cool because they lettered, like, a bunch of, like, crazy shapes and stuff when they're speaking Kryptonese to each other. And there's a really cool scene where they actually, like, provide captions at the bottom of each panel when they're, like, talking to each other. And I think that worked out super well.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, subtitles. So, I just have never seen it done that way. So, I thought that was kind of cool.
I've seen... It reminds me of, like, code when you try and find text in, like, a certain file, but there is no text there. It's just like code and it comes out all fucking weird like this.
Yeah, it's clearly like seen it, but it's like a mix of hieroglyphics and then just like Mandarin, because the way that it's like stacked on top of one another looks kind of strange.
Yeah,
it looks like that random font in like Microsoft Word that's just a bunch of shapes.
Yeah, it's like not actually anything.
And that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty cool. So they're running tests on this kid to verify if he's actually Kryptonian. And the tests kind of have to go overnight. So the kid wants Superman to stay overnight, but Superman says that he'll leave when he goes to sleep and he'll be back before he wakes up. Because mm-hmm. that's good old Superman stuff.
Yeah.
The next morning, Superman finds that he's been taken from the lab. And so Superman breaks into the Pentagon to talk to the guy that was kind of overseeing him. And they confirm that the kid is Kryptonian and they had him moved to a safer facility, as he said. So Superman goes and hijacks the kid from like during the transportation and takes him to Ma and Pa Kent to end that issue. And then also Lex Luthor finds out about the kid too, and he's like, interesting.
From the papers.
Yeah, from the papers.
Written by Lois Lane.
Yep. So like there's so many like awesome pages in just this whole series that are just kind of untraditional. Like they're not just like normal square panels. Like this one where he goes to like go back to the lab again, mm-hmm. and he's got like a teddy bear in his hand or whatever, and then he notices that the kid's not there. There's just like a bunch of like vertical panels, and then when there's like action that's starting, the panels get like smaller so that you can like read them faster, and you can like, it controls pacing very well doing it that way.
Yeah,
so I really like that.
This is like a weird layout with like Lex. It's like one huge one and like two little ones in the bottom.
I really like the page where Superman breaks into the Pentagon and he's like super angry.
Oh yeah, I love a mad Superman.
He draws a like just this angry face Superman, like the second page there where he's like bending the barrels of like M16s that are being pointed at him. He just looks so fucking furious.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And you know, it's also very Superman that he's concerned about this kid just being studied basically his whole life.
Because
that's not like how he was. And he's talking like, if I landed anywhere other than Kansas, I probably would have, you know, been treated to the same thing. So he doesn't want that for him.
Yeah.
So a lot of personality there too. And yeah, that's like the first issue. I think it's a banger. It sets up just vanilla Superman without any bullshit. And yeah. It's awesome.
So classic.
I think it's a great, you know, jumping on point. I would definitely recommend this trade for anybody that just wants to read Superman or just like comics in general. Like,
yeah, this wasn't too deep at all. Yeah. And I think it would be like a great gift as like a trade.
It's not bogged down by like continuity at all. And it's an interesting premise. So,
and everyone's pretty much introduced to you. So it's not anyway.
Yep. So issue two, the Kent family decides that none of them are going to be able to raise the boy. So Superman entertains letting the Metahuman Affairs, the people that were taking the boy before, he entertains letting them take care under the right circumstances. So he goes to meet them publicly at like in like front of this building, and then Lex Luthor sets Bizarro free to fight Superman in the middle of the press thing. So so there's a big fight and a bus lands on the kid, but he's unharmed because he's Kryptonian. And we also see as part of that fight the kid catch the Daily Planet globe as it's about to fall on him and Lois Lane, and that fight basically ends with Bizarro being frozen by ice breath. So
I always forget that he has that.
I know.
It's like his most underutilized like.
But like, when would you really
unless
use
you're
it?
Playing like Injustice or something.
Oh yeah,
then you're just, that's like,
it's basically Sub-Zero's freeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So one thing I noticed, Superman's Fortress of Solitude just kind of looks like a big pile of sticks.
I thought it looked really cool, actually.
I thought it didn't look like it was like full, you know? It looks like when you play pickup sticks or whatever and there's like just a bunch of sticks there. It doesn't like make a whole formation, I feel like. It's not like enclosed is what it looks like to me.
Okay.
So I just thought it was interesting.
It looks very spiky.
What do you think of Bizarro's design here?
I like it a lot because it's like all these like different like grayish kind of tones
but still the
scheme of like Superman, so it's obvious that he's like not good.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot.
He
looks like his skin is like a lot crackier looking. Like,
yeah,
it looks like it's almost shattered.
Yeah, he needs a skin care routine for sure.
Yeah, it looks like he's got like super sunburnt and like it's just peeling now.
He looks like Grundy if he was Bizarro.
Yeah, or like some sort of like reptile thing.
Yeah, I
like the scales almost.
I like the addition of the chains that are like around his wrists. I think that's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it's pretty metal.
I don't like his hair. Bad hair for a Superman copy, basically.
Yeah, dude, it's like an emo Bizarro.
that's a good way to put it, actually.
Because, it's like the classic 2013 like, emo swoop.
He looks like he's a drummer for Black Veil Brides.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the hair is just long enough to kind of go over his eyebrows at some points.
He's really mad because he's kicked out of Asking Alexandria.
Yeah. I would be, too. What a band. So, yeah, pretty funny. There's a point where Superman gets punched into a school bus, and I think that just the crumple that you see of the school bus looks really good, and that school bus is like the rest of it's like throughout the rest of this issue, but I just think it looks really cool. Like a lot of these action scenes are clearly like Adam Kubert just going all out.
Same thing
with the coloring on it too.
City getting like destroyed.
Yeah. You know,
it just looks fantastic.
There's like a whole page dedicated to like Superman tackling Bizarro through multiple buildings and stuff, and it's awesome. And he does a really good job like filling the page with like debris and stuff that you would find in Metropolis or like a New York-esque setting.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, really cool. Like having this page individually would be pretty cool, honestly.
Oh, they fly through a bus depot, Nathan. It's like the Home Depot for buses.
Yes.
If you want to. So there's plenty of things to throw Superman into.
Yeah. And one of them is a bus that lands on the kid. But which brings me to another point. Like when it lands on the kid and he's like super frightened, you really see that in his eyes too.
Yeah.
Even though he's like totally fine, he's very like not used to this. So he's kind of just really good. You really see the fear in his eyes. And then I think that Adam Kubert has a really great sense of scale. Because there's the point where the Daily Planet globe gets knocked off the building and it's falling straight towards Lois Lane, and then the kid catches it. But like the globe looks so big and he's like so tiny. And I think
I love that shit.
He nailed that super well.
Especially with like Superman, because of how strong he is. Like things have to be that big for it to seem like, so you can show like
how strong. So it seems like a spectacle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So really cool. Great, great action scene, honestly.
Good stuff.
So after that fight, Lois decides that she wants to keep the kid. And they name him Chris Kent. And they talk about how hard it'll be to keep it all secret from everybody. But they don't care because they think the kid's worth it. And the last scene is Chris's old ship sending out a signal, which causes three other ships to crash land. And the people that come out are General Zod and two other angry Kryptonians.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I forget what the girl's name is, but...
Ursa. Yeah. And then there's a big boy, big looking dude, and I think his name is like Knock or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think Zod and Ursa or whatever were in like Richard Donner's Superman movie. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but
yeah, they were.
That was kind of something I wasn't expecting to like kind of have, you know, the villains in his movies like kind of be reprised here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, we're going to see every fucking Superman villain by issue 3. We already have Bizarro, Lex, General Zod. Mm-hmm. You know, all sorts of people.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot at play here, but I think they balance it really well. Issue 3, there's some Zod backstory.
Oh, hold on. I have a question.
What's up?
Bizarro has fire breath?
Yeah, because Superman has ice breath.
I didn't know that, though.
Isn't that pretty funny, though?
Yeah, if you think about it, he should be the opposite and whatever, but I didn't know he had fire breath. That's fucking crazy.
He's basically just a dragon.
I was just like, what the fuck?
It's really... Honestly, I don't know if most iterations of Bizarro include that, but I think that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was surprised by it. I've never seen it.
Yeah. I wonder what his, like, vision is, or, like, his heat vision. Is it ice vision?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think it would have to be. I don't think he ever uses it here.
How do you feel about the name Chris Kent?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm like,
what'd they name it after again? I forget.
Chris Kringle.
Probably. Yeah.
Or is it like
they're like
Lois's dad or something?
No, because that's John, isn't it?
I don't know.
Lois Lane says, it's silly. I picked it out when I was a little girl before I got the reporter's itch, I guess. I haven't thought about it in years. What about Christopher? And then he's like, yep, like it.
Yeah. So, has Chris Kent ever been in any other continuity?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
So maybe he was erased after a crisis or something.
Perhaps.
So issue 3, there's some General Zod backstory here. But basically on Krypton, Zod and some of his cults or whatever you want to call them. What do we call them? They're like, I guess, part of Zod's cult.
It's kind
of
like a cult, yeah.
Yeah, so Zod and part of his cult were arrested, and they were imprisoned in the Phantom Zone for what they think... They think they were trying to save Krypton, but they were arrested for trying to act on those things and act above the council or whatever that was, you know, not trying to save the planet because they didn't think it was actually in danger. So basically their motivation is to capture the last son of Krypton, or Chris, which is also the son of Ursa and Zod. So we find out that
twist,
those two evil Kryptonians are the biological parents of Chris Kent. So mm-hmm. That's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
And their plan now is to take over Earth and make it new Krypton. So pretty reasonable motivation, you know?
Yeah, why not?
They're pissed off that they've been in the Phantom Zone this whole time.
I'd be too.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a great place. And meanwhile, Lois and Clark try to introduce their kid to the Daily Planet. But there's some craziness going on there. And that's when General Zod and his crew attacks. So Ursa, who's the biological mom of Chris, forces Chris away from Lois. And then Zod signals even more roly-poly ships down, which have other Kryptonian prisoners inside of them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So big old fight scene this issue. I think there's a lot of really fun pages here, too. And I really like the dialogue between Clark and Lois when they're like trying to figure out how they're going to introduce Chris, and they're like talking in like the elevator. Yeah. And they're like, all right, let's practice our lines, Chris. He's like, I'm going to sit. They're like, you're going to say what? He's like, it's great to meet you. And then he's like, what else? And Chris is like, nothing. And they're like, great. So they're like trying to like not fuck this up and like try to not raise as many questions as possible.
And teach him like no English.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently he learned English in like an hour because he's very smart or whatever.
Yeah.
Seems like a plot device, but that's fine. So really great fight scenes too. Like Superman gets into a fight with like the big Kryptonian dude and he like punches him in the face. And there's like 3 panels where he's like kind of feeling around inside of his mouth and he spits out a tooth. And I think it's pretty funny. And so the normal idea is that Zod and everybody else survived Krypton because they were in the Phantom Zone at that time, right?
Yeah. So is that like a alternate reality that you can just access from any point?
It's like a different dimension, kind of.
But you can access it from any point, right? Because like they went in on Krypton, I imagine.
Yeah.
And then they came out through like the Fortress of Solitude.
I don't know. They didn't come out through the Fortress. They crash landed from that ship, remember? In like the end of issue 2.
Oh.
So they exit. I don't know. I don't know how they get in or how they get out. Well, I know how they get out here, but I don't know how you are like arrested and sent to the Phantom Zone, I guess.
Right.
I think in the movies they had some sort of like door or whatever that they were supposed to walk into. Or maybe I'm thinking about the Negative Zone with Marvel. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. But in here, the idea is that Chris's ship, since it originated from the Phantom Zone, opens like a hole for other Kryptonians to also leave on ships to come through. So Chris's ship was like the key that they needed to all come through from the Phantom Zone.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's why Zod showed up after Chris, and then Zod also allowed it for like dozens of other Kryptonians and ships to show up too.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of this issue, there's just a bunch of evil cult Kryptonians, and now Superman has to fight him. So issue 4, there's a lot of info here, but
there's also a bit where like Chris was saying that he didn't want to go with them.
With
Zod and Ursa.
Yeah.
So he's like a nice boy.
Yeah, he's a nice boy.
It's cool.
There's a point where, actually at the end of the last issue, I think he gets sent to the Phantom Zone. So it looks like he hits him with some sort of...
Superman gets sent by Zod because he's got some little flashlight thing.
Some flashy thing that sends him there.
Yeah.
But this issue starts off with him in the Phantom Zone, and we find Mon-El there, who's a Kryptonian that was infatuated with space travel, and he tried to follow Superman to Earth, but he got this like irreversible disease when he was like on Earth. So he had to, in an attempt to try and save him, he had to stop time from moving on his own body, and he was sent himself to the Phantom Zone, basically, because in the Phantom Zone, no time passes, apparently. And so Mon-El, who was already in the Phantom Zone, found Superman there and was like explaining all the shit that's going on. And apparently Zod and the other Kryptonians had, and Ursa had a kid, which is Christopher. They named him Lor-Zod, but Christopher is not affected by the Phantom Zone since he was born in there. So there's actually that time that passes for him, which is why he's not like an infant right now.
Okay.
So that's just the rule that they made for the Phantom Zone to make it work for the story.
I can't dispute it.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense to me. That's comic book logic for you. So Chris, or Zod made Chris spin up some Phantom Zone technology that was in there, which allowed him to escape, which opened a hole for the other Kryptonians to escape through. So that's how all of this has happened. But I really love like the page designs for all of the scenes in like the Phantom Zone.
Super trippy.
Because like it's not like typical panels. They're just like, I don't even, like warped like pages, but like on the outside, or like what's normally like in the gutters is like black with like white dots, and it almost seems like a crazy like film reel or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was at first.
And all the coloring is like colored pencil from what it looks like, or something similar to it. So the coloring like makes them look a little bit more dull because they're in like the Phantom Zone, which I think works super well. Yeah. But there's a really, really cool panel where there's like a part of the Phantom Zone that's like a prison, and if you go in there then time passes normally, but Superman leaves like phantom form, which changes the art style from what looks like the colored pencils in the Phantom Zone to traditional inks and colors.
Yeah,
which
that I one think is panel brilliant. Is really cool.
Yeah, super fucking cool. And that just kind of like gives you like the mental note that he's in his physical form now, he's not in like phantom form, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And then there's also like a lot of glass shattering effects that have different memories in like the shards of the glass. So that's a really cool effect too. But anyway, Superman gets into his own ship that escapes from the Phantom Zone, and there's like a fight with like a leftover Kryptonian guy in the Phantom Zone. But after he leaves, we see that the Fortress of Solitude is being used as a prison with a bunch of superhero people trapped inside. So Superman goes to Lex Luthor to get some Kryptonian killing experience from him. Mm-hmm. And Lex reveals that his team of baddies he's been working on, and says that Superman can join and help him.
Yep.
So how do you move the fortress? Because it was in like the middle of Metropolis, so I don't really know how that works. can you move it? Because
I guess.
I guess you can. They figured it out. There's also some scenes where we see Chris Kent being rebellious to Zod, which I think is cool. He's like standing up for himself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool pages of him there.
And yeah, then, I like this this like montage. He's like, when he's like talking to Lex, he's like, "You spent years trying to kill me, Luthor. You've unlocked every way to hurt me. You built hundreds of weapons to do it. May I borrow them?"
Nice about it.
I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
He could have took all of them, and but he's just like, mind if I borrow them?
Yeah. Can I just do like an IOU maybe? Like, let me get some of these.
Yeah.
And then Lex is super cool here because his motivation is just like, I want, like, it's cool that he would go to Lex Luthor to like help him like kill Kryptonians or stop other Kryptonians.
Yeah.
But what's even cooler is that he's just assembled his own team, kind of like waiting for this moment almost. And there's a great line at the end where Lex is like, "You will be teaming up with us, you know."
Yeah.
It's not me teaming up with you kind of deal.
So he's got Bizarro, Parasite, and then...
Metallo?
Okay.
Yep.
Metallo looks different here.
Yeah. There's like... I think there's also a Mentallo with like an N. M-E-N-T.
That's Flex Mentallo.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. So Metallo,
from
I think...
Doom Patrol.
But I think there's other versions of Metallo where he's like a robot or some shit.
That's what I think I know him as.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Let's take a look at old Google here.
Yeah. If I look up Metallo, is he just like a normal guy? Because here he's like a normal
guy. He kind of looks like a Terminator with like a green chest. None of these look familiar to me.
Yeah. So he does look like a robot, right? Normally.
Yeah.
In some form. But I guess here... Oh, there's a Metallo series on that.
Huh.
I don't know who would read that. But yeah. So he does look a little bit different here. Yeah, here he's just a guy, and his gimmick is that Lex Luthor's been giving him the different colors of Kryptonian stones, like normal, like kryptonite, and then there's also red kryptonite, blue kryptonite, and yellow kryptonite that all do their own thing.
Yeah, like red kryptonite messes with like his DNA or kryptonite DNA for some
reason. Yeah, there's one that like makes him weak because it's like a red sun, you know, it's harnessing the power of like the red sun, which like makes them weak. And then there's one that like stops their powers. And then there's one that does another thing.
Yeah, the gold one stops their powers. And then the blue one keeps control over Bizarro.
Okay, cool.
Which is weird.
Yeah, seems weird. So anyway.
That's what they said.
Issue 5, Lex gets his weapons and his crew, which is, again, Bizarro, Parasite, and Metallo, and says that he will help for just solely the glory of it and to see people turn on Superman for how scary Kryptonians are. Because obviously that would affect people's opinions of Kryptonians a little bit if they're overrunning everything. So Superman takes that deal and he partners with them. And then also the U.S. military shows up to try and take down Zod and his crew. And then there's a big fight. So Superman actually uses a gun in some of these, like Kryptonian fighting guns, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He uses like a red sun laser that's supposed to like power some Kryptonians down, which I think is pretty cool. But the other three villains also have their part to play. And then Lex even kills a Kryptonian that's while he's like trying to sneak into the fortress. So.
Yeah. Just seeing like Superman like double fisting some guns.
Yeah, he's dual wielding.
Like, he's got just like a bunch of gear on him.
Yeah.
It's just like a funny kind of thing to look at.
It's such a fun idea though, just to see him like zooming around like that.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see like how easily Parasite and Metallo are like taking down Kryptonians and they're just like fucking around. Because Metallo is like, well, let me try all these kryptonites, and he like literally uses every single one to see what it does. But yeah, Parasite's pretty cool too. He just like takes people's life force away.
I thought he like took like their powers.
I don't think so.
Who am I thinking of that takes power?
Or like Parasite leeches life energy, but there is some villain that takes powers. I just don't know who it is.
Okay.
It might be. Is it Metamorpho?
Is it Metamorpho the one with like the different elements on him?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm not sure then.
Super.
Yeah, so they eventually free the other heroes in the Fortress of Solitude, and they all help fight all the Kryptonians.
No, Parasite does that too.
He does. He takes powers.
He absorbed the life energy, superpowers, and knowledge of their victim.
Oh, very cool then.
Okay.
So cool. I wonder why we don't see him flying around at all.
Yeah, he'd be flying around, shooting lasers and stuff.
Yeah. Some ice breath. Who knows?
Maybe just in this, he like just a.
Yeah. But they free the other heroes. They help fight everybody, and then Lex figures out a way to stop all the Kryptonians, which is reversing the effects of Chris's ship that he crash landed on initially. Which when he does that, when he reverses the effects, it will suck everyone that came through the Phantom Zone back into it, which unfortunately means that Chris Kent is the final one that's sucked back into the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool scene where like Superman's like, no, we'll find a way. And then Chris is like, thanks for being my dad for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. And then he's like, I got to do this. And then he flies back into the Phantom Zone and it closes the portal and everybody's okay now. But Metropolis is pretty fucking destroyed. So Superman then... Hold on. Where am I? Oh, so the city's in ruins and the Daily Planet headline was that the Kryptonian boy saves Metropolis, which pisses off Lex Luthor, who's now in prison with the rest of the villains. So that's basically how this whole trade ends.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really like about the sucking scene, I guess, is that when the Phantom Zone is like open again and it's like closing everybody in, the panels themselves are like super warped because of everything that's crazy going on.
Yeah, it kind of looks like those Phantom Zone panels. Yeah,
but when it's like closed on that same page, you see the panels go back to like straight lined square panels.
Yeah,
so you know that like everything's kind of like normal or like as it should be. And I think that that's like a fun way to show craziness, but in like warping reality, but then also that it's over. So it's very subtle.
Yeah.
And but what I don't understand was, wasn't it like established that Superman was going to get sucked back into it as well?
Because
but
then he doesn't. In it at yeah, some point.
Because he was in it, and he came back on a ship. So it makes sense if he was too. I don't like.
Okay, I didn't get that. Maybe it was like
because
he was just put in there. Maybe the rest of them they were sentenced.
Which I would totally accept. But there's literally a line in here where Lex is like, he's going to be pulled up too. So like, think it'd be easily avoidable to like have that plot point, like you know. Not missing or whatever.
He means Superman?
Yeah, he means Superman. So
why? Yeah.
So let me find it. So there's a point and he says, and the zone will put back in anyone who's ever been in contact with it. General Zod, Ursa, And then Lois Lane is like, and Superman. And she's like, you didn't tell him that part, did you? And Lex is like, must have slipped my mind. And then he does it, and everything starts getting sucked back into it. So, like, literally right before it happens, it's established that Superman's going to get sucked back into the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't. So you'd think it would just, like, make some sort of, like, little thing where it's like, oh, but not Superman. He'll be okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, weird. But anyway, that's the end of this. You know, Chris Kent has, like, a pretty big moment where he saves everybody. And it's also established that, I guess, Superman has, like, a little gateway that looks into a part of the Phantom Zone, which is how he talks to Mon-El.
Yeah, and then he said that he was going to go look for him and stuff.
Yeah, he says that the Phantom Zone's super big, but he knows that Chris Kent isn't with General Zod. He, like, is hiding from them, so that's cool. But that's the end of that arc. And then the rest of this goes into, like, a Brainiac arc, where it's Geoff Johns writing and Gary Frank as a penciler.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally the issue right after the one we just talked about, and there's no mention of Chris or everything that just happened before. It's just, like, completely new arc.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's tacked onto this.
Did you read it all?
I did.
Does it relate to A Last Son of Krypton at all?
No. Well, kind of, because... Well, actually, not really. Because what's funny is that in this arc, it's all about Brainiac and how Brainiac took the city of Kandor, which is a really, really cool scene where we see that actually happen.
Isn't that where, like, Black Adam's from?
No, he's from... Ooh, look it up.
Okay.
It's gonna fuck me up. Because I'm pretty sure this is called... Yeah, the city of Kandor is what it is, so... It does start with a K, I think.
Kondok,
yeah.
Okay, close.
Yeah, pretty close. But anyway, I did read it because when we decided that we weren't going to do this second trade, basically, I was like already halfway through it, so I just skimmed the rest. And Gary Frank is a fucking elite artist.
Monster, absolutely.
And what's crazy is I don't really see him doing like space Superman stuff because like I've mainly only seen him on like Batman or like the Watchmen stuff, which is all pretty ground level.
Mm-hmm.
And then Geiger, but he draws Brainiac and space shit like so well. Like it's unbelievable how good he is at it.
Yeah. All the Brainiac spaceships are like fucking crazy looking.
Yeah. And there's like Brainiac robots that are like Terminator looking.
Yeah. I was like
Terminator looking fuckers.
Some T-800s in here.
And he just destroys it. He crushes it. Everything looks perfect. It's unreal.
That guy's awesome.
And like, even just looking at just Superman himself, like the way that his proportions are just so perfect, you wouldn't think that he would be good at drawing like aliens and like crazy shit like that. Or like Brainiac's ship.
Yeah.
Looks great as well. I wrote a note. Brainiac definitely has the best ship ever made, right?
It's just like a floating like skull looking thing.
A floating skull that has tentacles that come out the bottom. Like, what the fuck is that?
It's definitely the funnest one.
Yeah. But he's really good. But basically the story is just we see
Kandor coming and we gotta stop him.
Yeah, we see Kandor get taken, and then Brainiac finds Superman and he's like, I wanted to have the only Kryptonian. And it's kinda hinted at that he destroyed Krypton, which is kinda cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Superman stops him. Like,
yeah,
that's about it. So, and then there's some like Supergirl stuff in there, and how she like saw Kandor get taken or things like that. It's really good, but just doesn't fit in with like The Last Son of Krypton. So I don't know why it's here, but it is definitely really good.
It's probably just like the collection, like I guess
Geoff Johns' time maybe as on
or
Superman.
It was like, you know, they do the trade for like 6 issues, but then like, they make deluxe era. Put
they
these
just
two
throw that on
arcs
there.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a scene where we see John Kent die. So that's pretty big too.
Oh.
Spoiler. Were you going to read it?
Yeah, dude, I bought it.
Oh. Well, there's really cool Brainiac stuff. He looks fucking ripped.
I know. I was flipping through here. He's like jacked.
Yeah. Because like his deal is that he doesn't really go onto the planets that he takes. He just has his Terminator robots take them.
Uh-huh.
And he says that he hasn't like been awakened for like centuries.
So he's just like...
He's just jacked. I don't know what civilization he took that taught him how to get massive biceps, but like... He did it. Like, look at this page. Look how fucking ripped he is. And like,
look at those cheeks.
Look at his cake, Lord. Bro. Like, it's not even cake. It's too lean for cake. It's like a carrot cake.
Like, look at that meatloaf.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
And there's
that.
Like space alien horror in it as well.
Cool.
Because there's a part where Superman gets taken. But yeah, really, really good. I do recommend it. It's pretty brisk read. And
yeah,
a lot of good stuff in there. But there's more Kryptonians like in this story, so it doesn't make sense to be in like the Last Son, because there's like Clark Kent, Superman. There's Kryptonians on Kandor. There's more that come up after that, so it's just strange.
Right.
But anyway, pretty good.
Good stuff.
What would you rate The Last Son of Krypton?
I'd say like a very, very loaded, like it, you know, like a like it size.
Okay.
But I like the ice cream, like all the toppings kind mm-hmm. of thing. I think if that arc was either added on to, you know, with that same kind of plot to where like maybe Chris comes back or something like that, like he finds him or something.
Yeah, I wonder how that resolves because
probably
I've never,
it doesn't.
Yeah, he's probably just stuck in the Phantom Zone for the rest of his life.
Or unless he like comes back or something, but
I don't think so.
I think if this ended up being like 12 issues or whatever we thought it was, it could be like a gotta have it. Or no, not like it. I love it. I meant
love it. Okay.
Yeah, like it's.
Yeah. I definitely think this is a gotta have it for me. It's just perfect Superman comics. Definitely my favorite Superman story.
Uh-huh.
And really easy to follow. Really fun dialogue. Really in just insane pages by Adam Kubert. I think that's what most of the excitement for me came from.
Uh-huh.
So definitely a gotta have it.
Nice.
For sure. So let's do some Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Indeed. There wasn't a lot here.
Not a lot for a 12-issue
for a deluxe.
Hardcover deluxe. But we got some variants, so that's pretty cool. We got one from
Andy Kubert.
Andy Kubert.
And then another Superman punching some stuff.
Yep. Another Andy Kubert one of Supergirl, I assume, for like the back half of that trade. I didn't realize.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There's a sketchbook as like a part of it where he draws on like brown paper. And I think that he does that kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it just makes it easier to like use whites to like highlight things. It's just like a mid-tone paper so that you can create darks and stuff.
That's
he does that really well. But there's a character design page where he's designing like the Kryptonians that were in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
And there's a little note that says the goggles are for like phantom vision. So like they can see better in the Phantom Zone.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I
was like, why do they have goggles?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I didn't realize that that's like what they were for. But it's a cool design, honestly.
Yeah, it works. I'm glad they didn't just like come out as like they are in the movies, you know, with like whatever they're wearing there.
Yeah, so it's cool that they have like a function, you know, so I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what they're wearing is long-tailed vests, so it looks like capes as they fly. Didn't realize that either.
Okay.
But it looked like they were just wearing like a cloak type deal.
Yeah, because it's got like a hood on it.
Which feels very culty. So I think it works to like demonstrate who all the other Kryptonians are.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good stuff. There's some Perry White. Or I guess he says not Perry White. I don't know.
Where? Oh, in the corner?
Yeah, in the corner. It says not Perry White. I'm
assuming
it is.
It's definitely Perry White, though.
It's definitely Perry White, but he just has so much.
I've never seen this brown paper stuff. Does he have like a white colored pencil that he just works this on?
Yeah, charcoal.
It looks sick.
I've drawn on it before.
Charcoal comes in white?
Yeah. They're like charcoal pencils.
I just thought they were just like gray or black.
Yeah, when I took a drawing class, we used that a lot.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's like a white pencil and then like black pencil, and it makes like for better black and white sort of drawings.
Okay.
Because you can use the white and balance it with the black, so pretty cool.
Dope.
Character designs for John Kent, or no, Jor-El, sorry, Jor-El. The AI. And then there's character designs for Superman's mom, but she's never in here, I'm pretty sure.
Is this not Lois?
No, it's definitely.
Oh, because she's got like the Superman like.
She's got the crest. It's Lara, which is he says Soup's mom. Lara.
Lara. Huh.
I don't think she's really in it all that much, so I'm not sure what that's. But yeah, that's it for the back matter.
Yeah, not too great.
I wish the back matter was a little bit better.
Yeah, me too.
That's probably why it's not a gotta have it with all your favorite toppings, but it's definitely a gotta have it for me. So we'll go into the poll list. Colon, shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
I gotta look up what I am going to pick up this week because I didn't have the chance to go this week.
I'm trying to find.
We're recording a day earlier than normal because I had something come up tomorrow. But yeah, I didn't have the chance. But if I did go,
we're gonna get Rorschach 10, Nathan.
Rorschach 10. I fell off of that actually.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm just gonna get it all and then shotgun it, just because I love Watchmen stuff.
Yeah.
And then probably just get like the trade for the shelf if I like it that much. But
are you picking up Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters?
No,
I am not either.
Cause like I haven't been picking up like just the normal bounty hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or anything else.
Looks like nothing from Marvel for me.
Spider-Man Shadow 4.
Oh yeah, that's coming out.
Yep, got that one. Yep.
I'm caught up on that too, actually. So
oh nice.
Batman the Detective number 4.
The Detective, who's on that?
Tom Taylor. It's Batman, but he's in Europe.
Right.
And Andy Kubert was on there.
Andy Kubert.
Not Adam Kubert. Andy.
Andy.
The son.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I thought he was like a brother.
I don't think so.
Who's the dad?
Adam.
And who is on this book we just read?
Adam.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Pretty sure. Maybe I fucked that up.
I can't remember.
I'm looking it up now.
So embarrassing.
Adam Kubert is on this. Andy Kubert is a different person. And then there's a Joe Kubert, which I think is Adam Kubert's brother.
Wow.
Too many Kuberts.
So many.
It's like the Allreds.
There's just two of them.
Too many.
And they're just in one. They're married.
Like, no, there's three Allreds, isn't there?
There's Mike and Laura.
And
Jeff. And they're married, I'm pretty sure.
And Jeff.
Jeff Allred?
Yes.
Look it up.
And Jim.
No, there's not.
How many Allreds are there? And, I don't know if that's something I can Google.
And David, how many Allreds are there?
How many?
Just Google Allred. You'll probably get what you're looking for. There'll just be like Mike that comes up.
If I look up Allred, it comes up with Colin Allred, his U.S. representative from Texas.
Oh my God, that's awful. Allred Comics.
So it's Mike Allred.
Yeah, and Laura.
I know. This isn't really something I can Google because I don't think most people don't care.
It's not going to be something you can Google.
Like, how do I
search it on Comixology?
Who are the? I'll look it up on Comixology.
I'll wait, or I can tell you what else I got. So there's Skybound X2, which is like a different couple stories, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Black Hammer Vision 6, Nathan.
Mike Allred, Laura Allred, Lee Allred.
What? You didn't guess that. What has Lee Allred done?
He's done. Let me tell you. Bug, The Adventures of Forager with Mike Allred and Laura Allred.
Oh, cool.
Dick Tracy with Mike Allred.
Oh, yeah.
Batman 66 with Mike Allred.
What's he do?
Interesting, isn't that?
What's he do? Is
he does.
Inks?
He wrote it, actually. He wrote the Bug the Forager.
With Mike?
Mike Allred on art, Laura Allred on colors.
No shit.
Yeah, see? I'm not a dumbass. I know my shit.
You didn't know his name was Lee.
I knew that there was a third one, though.
You said Jim.
I was close. It was a one syllable name.
Okay.
All right. What else are you picking up?
Black Hammer Vision 6.
What? Oh yeah, it is
Black Hammer Visions number 6.
Yep. Who's writing that one?
I didn't look.
I'm gonna look it up now.
Okay.
That's gonna be Colin Bunn.
Oh, that is right.
With Matt Sheehan on art. I don't really know who's this guy.
Oh, dude, that's fucking Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. Oh, my God.
Isn't it look so cool? He looks a little bit scarier there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, that's fucking Cthulhu.
What does he look like? Just like a normal dude normally?
He's like...
Or just like...
He's like a
non-threatening guy, I should say.
He's like a plumber or something. But, like, so imagine like a plumber's body.
Huh.
And then he's just got a Cthulhu head.
Gotcha.
And then Cthulhuis is just like a little girl with a Cthulhu head.
That's awesome,
dude. Like, Black Hammer is so important.
it's one of the most important comics.
It's so good. Anyway,
hilarious.
What else are you picking up? You know what you're getting? Wait, what are you gonna get?
Mainly just Batman the Detective. I'll pick up Black Hammer Visions, and yeah, that's kind of it. I think it's a light week for me.
Do you follow Ash Avenue Comics on Instagram?
Yeah,
they post like their new releases, like they just take pictures of it.
Right,
and it's super helpful.
I think Samurai does that too. I just don't go on Instagram all that much.
Oh,
so yeah.
Okay.
So just Spider-Man, Shadow, Batman the Detective, Black Hammer.
Right on.
That's it. I read some stuff though this week.
Did you now?
I read the Skybound X.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. It's like an anthology, which I think.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that.
I think we talked about that when it was first announced. But there's like the Rick Grimes one where he's like sent to the future or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
Yeah,
and Ryan Ottoli's on it. So yeah. The guy that was normally doing Invincible with Robert Kirkman is now doing Walking Dead. There's a Ultra Mega portion that's done by James Herron, the guy that normally does Ultra Mega.
Actually, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And what I didn't expect, which was very cool, was a preview of the Clementine graphic novel coming out.
Sick.
And
actually the cover that I got had Clementine on it, so that wasn't that much of a shock.
Yeah, so we get to see that, and she writes and draws it. It's in black and white, so it's really cool.
Is the book coming out gonna be in black and white?
Yes, I think so. It doesn't come out until June 2022, so this is our Skybound X is Clementine's first ever appearance in comic book form.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they said at the back. So pretty cool. There's also like a Manifest Destiny one, which I don't know what that book is, nor have I read it. It looks pretty fun, but I skipped it.
Okay.
So maybe it's worth looking into because Skybound does some cool stuff.
Is it like a tie-in that sounds like it's something that you need prior knowledge for?
No.
Okay.
I think all of this is just like an opportunity for those creators to do supplemental stuff with those characters.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Then they should do a fucking Invincible one.
They probably will. They might do like a... Like a, what's that Daniel Warren Johnson one?
Murder Falcon?
No. Oh, maybe. That might be on there. But there's another one. Extremity?
Oh.
I think that's what it is. There might be one of those.
Is that his book?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and I guess now that I think about it, it does look like his style.
We should.
Just like the cover.
Yeah. So I read that. I'm catching up on Silver Coin, so I read number 2.
Okay.
I haven't read number three yet. Number two is definitely more slasher than the than the first one was.
That's cool. I was hoping for something like a little bit more horror.
Yeah, it definitely was. There's knives.
The scariest part of the first one was just that dude's thumb getting cut up.
Yeah, there's mutilated limbs and faces being worn. So I think I think you'll like it.
Yummy.
And I think that the silver coin was incorporated a little bit. Like it could have been like incorporated a little bit more, but it ends the same way where the silver coin gets like lost and someone else finds it.
I think I'd almost prefer that because I don't want it to be in like kind of forced into the story too much.
That's true at the same time. Yeah.
You know, to where it's
so
like,
it's not here. It's just like it seems like a normal, like
it shouldn't be horror. like a MacGuffin. It should be like something that's like there and is like the reason for everything kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about it that way, but it's just like I just saw it like the last two pages and I'm like, oh, there it goes.
Yeah. It's just rolling about.
Yeah. So I'm excited to read number three. I think actually Silver Coin number four came out today. Which is
maybe
Jeff Lemire's one, I think. Ooh. But number two is Kelly Thompson, number three is Ed Brisson. So
okay.
I have number three already, so I'm gonna read that soon.
I think I have two.
I read Berserker number three. Banger.
I didn't realize I didn't have any of those and I picked
They're
week.
Awesome. Yeah, I got the glossy variant for number three.
Wow.
And it's like a lot of backstory stuff, but very necessary. And
that first issue is like thick.
It's very thick, yeah. And this third issue is violent. It's all about how he's been killing. But in the past.
Right.
And then there's a fourth thing that I read. Oh, I was in a super mood, so I read Tom King's Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Issue one.
What do you think so far?
The art is on fucking real.
Yeah, it looked cool.
It made me like a lifetime fan of Bilquis Evely, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Yeah.
But insane. It blew me away. And nice. The colorist is Matt Hughes Lopez.
Okay.
And I follow him on Twitter already, so I knew it was going to be incredible, but there's some really cool like dons and just environment on like an alien planet. The writing is pretty good, but there's one character that talks a little bit too fancy for me.
Like a Savoy kind of thing?
Not even like that. It's not like it, because I feel like Savoy's fun because it's that but overkill. Uh-huh. But this character just like talks just smarter. You know?
We don't like that.
Just like us. Yeah. So, but once Supergirl was like a part of it, I was like, fuck yeah. Like it's a fun situation for Supergirl to be in. And so I like it. And Crypto's a part of it. So it's a good book.
Nice.
So I recommend.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely a huge art book. He always gets banger artists. Honestly, and he knows how to write for them, so it's cool.
Yeah, that's what I kind of prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing I was able to read was a couple of the extra issues of Superman, the Brain Act thing. So.
Yeah. Before we get into like stuff that we watched, I want to play a little game with you that I thought of on the way over here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 1 minute on the clock, and I'm going to name one writer and one artist. Okay. For the writer, you have 1 minute to name as many series of this as they've been a part of as you can. 1 point for Big Two, 2 points for Independent. So anything that they've worked on.
Okay. And then now you get to do the same thing for artists?
Like, yeah, same thing for artists.
Okay.
So for example, if I was like Mark Miller, right? Civil War, 1 point.
Reborn,
2 points.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay?
And then I'm going to have you think of one for me. I'm going to give you like two easy ones because there's like a lot of I want like a lot of answers and I think that this would be fun.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tally how many that you've gotten. Okay.
Okay.
So 1 minute, I'm going to give you the writer, Jason Aaron. Ready, set, go.
Southern Bastards.
Okay.
Fucking Thor.
Okay.
Thor God of Thunder, the Mighty Thor.
Okay. Okay. That all counts. Those are all different.
King Thor or something.
Yep.
Unworthy Thor.
Yep. Okay.
fucking Thors.
Ah, fuck, you're right. I'll give you a really easy one. There's so many independent things. Come on.
Dude, I just like don't know.
Okay,
them.
Other big two things other than Thor. What do you got?
The Avengers.
Okay, nice. 20 seconds.
he hasn't done any D stuff, I don't think.
He has. Not a lot.
I don't know it then. I'm just trying to think of like more
independent,
Thor things.
Independent. You know, you're reading one actually currently.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In space? Sea
of Stars.
Didn't get it in time.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Damn. So
that was a lot of points. You had kind of an easy go in there with all the million Thor comics he's been a part of. But
do you want me to do that with you or is?
Let's do the artist now. So I got to think of one actually.
Okay.
Let's do who's had a lot. Let's go Gary Frank. Ready, set, go.
The Button.
Does
that count?
No, he wasn't on that.
Did he do Doomsday Clock?
He did Doomsday Clock.
Batman.
Yep.
Batman Earth 1.
Yep.
Justice League.
Yep.
At one point.
Mm-hmm.
Superman.
Okay.
Like Action Comics, what it was. Geiger.
Yep. That's 2 points. Okay. Nice.
Other independent stuff. Oh, he was on The Authority.
Oh, nice. Yep. Okay.
That's a good one because he's like...
He's been on a lot.
He's been on a lot, but I just like haven't read all of it.
There's... Who's another Superman-esque character? Shazam. He's been on Shazam.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
So, all right. Let's tally you up. For Jason Aaron, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 points.
Nice.
Pretty good.
It's better than I thought, honestly. I'm like, he's done like two things.
And for Gary Frank, you got 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, dude, what was that fucking event that Jason Aaron did?
Original Sin, War of the Realms.
Damn.
He's done a bunch of independent stuff. You got Southern Bastards, but there's also like Scalped, The Goddamned.
Oh, yeah, Scalped.
The Other Side. He did like a war book.
I don't know what that is.
Tons of stuff.
Okay.
So, all right, now you give me a writer.
Good tally. Writer.
Was that a fun game?
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
It hurt me.
I don't know what to call it because I thought of it on the way here, but it's like a grab bag.
Grab bag.
grab bag and board.
let's do Brian Azzarello.
Okay. Oh shit. I don't know a lot of, okay. Ready, set, go. Wonder Woman.
Okay.
100 Bullets.
Yeah.
The whiskey one. Fuck. What is that one called?
I actually read that. It's not bad.
He did the DC Black Label.
What?
The DC Black Label one where he shows his dick.
What was it called?
It was Batman.
Okay. There's like a... That's fine.
Oh my God. What? Moonshine. That's what it was.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. He's done... I don't know what else he's done. I don't know. I'm not a big Brian Azzarello fan. Fuck. I don't know, man.
He's done like a legendary Batman run that isn't just about the Batwing.
Was it Nightfall?
I don't think so. I can double check that, but...
I don't know. I'm out of time, basically. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot of Brian Azzarello.
He co-wrote The Dark Knight Returns, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. A little bit later.
I guess that's the third one.
What else do you know of him?
Yeah, I did 100 Bullets. I'm pretty sure you said Wonder Woman, right?
Wonder Woman, yep.
I don't know. I can't remember. I feel like there's more when I said that.
You gave me a hard mode.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it's okay. Give me an artist and we'll do the same thing.
Hold on one sec.
Big artists.
Just so that stuff. I can be... Yeah, The Dark Knight, The Master Race.
Yep, DK3.
Oh, Batman Damned.
Oh, yeah, it was called Damned, wasn't it?
He did a Flashpoint storyline.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, he did Joker. So the Flashpoint Batman he did.
Yeah, Flashpoint Batman, huh?
He did that one book that was just called Joker.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I feel like he had other indie one. I guess not.
All right, give me an artist.
We're on easy mode right now.
Let's try and do an easier one.
Let's do just Chris Samney.
Chris Samney. Okay, I can work with that. All right, ready, set, go. Are you tallying?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Black Widow.
Yep.
Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
He did Daredevil.
He did.
He's been on Thor.
Okay.
A little bit.
If you say so.
He's independent. We have Firepower.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Jonah and the Impossible Monsters.
True.
He's done... Isn't there another independent one that he's done?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, shoot. I think it's everything.
literally everything he's ever done.
Literally all of his work. Oh, fuck. No, he's done other stuff with Mark Waid, I'm pretty sure. Firepower. Mm. Oh, man. That's going to bother me. I know there's probably another big one that I'm fucking missing. Can you think of another one I'm missing?
No.
Daredevil, all that. He's been on Thor. No, I think that's it for me.
Oh, man.
I got some independent stuff, though, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's important.
That's it. All right, let's look him up. What has he done?
Was he on Magneto?
No. Yeah, I think so. It was Gabriel Walta, and then there's like another artist that was on there.
I guess he did The Rocketeer or something.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Oh, he did some Batman Beyond. I forgot about that.
Did he? Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he did.
So Brian Azzarello, you got 6 points, and for Chris Samney, you got...
Damn it. So you beat me. I give you easier ones.
Yeah, sorry.
So pretty fun.
Pretty fun.
That was the first edition of Grab Bag and Board.
Grab Bag.
Bag and Board, because it's like comics.
Okay.
Well, it's a work in progress. Oh, he was on Guardians of the Galaxy. I forgot about that too.
Anyway, Chris Samney was?
Yeah.
Huh.
With Bendis, I think, for a little bit. Or Jerry Duggan, maybe.
I think you just kind of think of like his like definitive runs, you know?
Yeah, true. But let's go into what we watched this week. Is there anything outside of the two Marvel things that you watched this week?
I watched Dave.
I watched another episode of Dave.
Which one was that?
2.
Oh, that's funny.
Episode 2, where he's like at a party. We see Elle's.
Oh, okay.
There's a girl that like...
No, the third one was the best one, I think.
Okay, I'll make sure to watch it. Yeah, slowly catching up on that.
Yeah, I'm caught up on it just because I know like once we're done podcasting
yeah,
on Hulu or whatever.
Fair.
I've gotten like really far in Supernatural. We're on like season 5.
Holy shit.
Because like we're skipping like the fillers and stuff. So oh, it's yeah. like That's maybe right. like 8 episodes a season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten like super good where I'm like super about it right now.
Wow.
Just because it's like super heavy in like Christian theology right now. We're talking about like
good enough to the point where you're going to be a Supernatural stan and you're going to watch all the episodes?
No, fuck that, dude. Like it's so tiring watching like they're not bad episodes, but it's just like they start and then they end kind yeah. of thing. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy. And that's yeah. about it.
Gotcha.
So no, not a stan, but I'll definitely like watch it all as long as it's like momentum.
That's fair. That's fair.
So yeah, pretty dope. I watched this movie. It's called The Possession of Michael King. And is this dude who like his wife dies and he's like an atheist, I guess. So he's like, he creates documentaries. And so it's like, it looks like he.
It's a movie about a guy that makes documentaries.
Yeah. So that it's. The it's cut like it's like his documentary that he made in like found footage almost.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of cool. And so he's like, his wife is like very spiritual or whatever. And so he like, for his next documentary, he tries all kinds of like creepy ass shit in order to, you know, he like goes to some Satanists to try and invite a demon into his, into him. He goes to like a necromancer or something, whatever that is.
Oh, wow.
And has like all these spirits come at him. He goes to like a medium.
And it looks like a documentary.
Yeah, he has like a dude like carry a camera around.
That's cool.
And then the camera guy eventually and stuff like that. And he's got cameras, hidden cameras in his house and stuff. And so he sees how like fucked up his house gets eventually. It, obviously, like all the stuff that he does, super bad idea. Probably shouldn't do that. And then it ends up panning out to where he's like, I shouldn't have done this.
You know what? In hindsight, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's funny. I was like, kind of expecting it to be a little bit scarier, but it's all right.
Gotcha.
I was tricked by a TikTok. He's like, you got to watch this. And I get the idea. I'm like, that sounds great. But it's just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of those kinds of TikToks where it's just like, it's this like, is the craziest thing. It's so underrated.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to believe them because sometimes they're right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like there's only like those really popular ones.
Yeah.
That you've heard about. And you've seen already, but you just kind of want something new. Because I want to believe that like an indie horror movie can be like super good and you just like find it and then it's like super underrated.
Yeah, a lot of directors are like come into popularity either doing like horror or comedy. So
right. So
there's got to be some good ones and there are. But yeah, sometimes it's hit or miss if you're trying something like completely new, obviously.
Yeah, so. There's like so many. So I'm just like, there's got to be some gems in here.
Yeah, cool.
But anyway, did you watch anything else?
Not really, honestly. No. Just a little bit more Demon Slayer, a little bit more Saul. So it's going all right.
Okay. Nice.
So yeah, let's do you want to talk about Loki first or Black Widow?
Did you watch Loki?
I did.
You finished it?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Thank
it's
God. All done. I watched it on lunch. I wasn't sure if you were going to watch it.
I watched it also on lunch.
Perfect.
So you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, liked it.
That was Kang. So
definitely Kang.
Definitely Kang.
He even says like, oh,
some people called me the conqueror. Yeah, and I'm like, well, because at first I was like, is he like the one above all? And I was like, that makes sense because he's like above, you know, the timeline and everything else. And I thought they were kind of going that route. But then it's like definitely King the Conqueror. So
the in the subtitles, they had his or whatever like that the clock called him like he who remains.
He who remains. Yeah.
And so I was like, I think I put Kang in here eventually, but they never say his name.
No.
I guess he's in like some sort of black hole looking place that's at the end of time.
Yeah. And he's surrounded by a big
kind
of
trippy.
By a big ring that yeah. is representative of the timeline.
I guess.
Yeah, I like the way that he portrays that character.
Yeah, I just kind of expected this like big dude that's just like just barely talked because he's so strong, like a doomsday kind of
yeah.
thing. But he's like,
his motivations seem, you know, pretty solid.
Like, I totally agree with Kang. I'm yeah. like, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, because eventually if there's a multiverse, people, there's going to be evil ones. So it makes sense that you would try and like...
Because it's already happened. He got to that point because of where it was at.
Yeah.
And he's lived for like however many lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it makes sense.
We didn't see Mobius get on a jet ski. So I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah, I know. But
I hope he will later.
There's going to be a season 2 of Loki.
There will confirmed. Be a season 2 of Loki, which is cool.
Very exciting.
Did you see the after credit scene?
Where it just showed...
Season 2 confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I was like, wait, I thought that was it.
yeah.
We get to see Judge Renslayer was a teacher.
Yeah.
And that little pen thing actually was connected to something. It was like from her school.
What was like the last that we saw her? Because I feel like there wasn't like a complete arc that she made. And, you know, it could be just...
She just like leaves.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, yeah. She leaves out of the... Using the temp pad, right?
Yeah. And okay, yeah. I guess she... she still believes in like what Kang's doing basically, but she doesn't know who Kang is.
Yeah. Okay.
And so there was a purpose.
Yeah. A bit of like, this all has to be for a reason. I got to figure out why.
I don't know why Mobius got shut down like so fast. Like, he took like one swing and then like,
oh yeah,
she just like knocked his ass down.
And I'm like, really? You're gonna burn the TVA to the ground. And then he gets fucked up by like one elbow to the stomach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love his character, honestly. Mobius.
But the way he was kind of written into this, how he was like, he collaborated with like all the different kings of like the multiverse and stuff like that. That's something that like
Kang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he like kind of said like he was like the last one basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they use this they use it in Invincible for like one of the characters.
Yeah. There's like
Angstrom Levy. So I don't know who stole it from who, but I like that.
Marvel
concept.
Did it first with Reed Richards, because there's like a Reed Richards like crew and they all like collaborate together, like the thinker is like a part of it, but he's like the evil one, right? So
oh right,
and like he's like the character that would do that sort of fucking thing. So
I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that there is a TVA.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool that like kind of, at least from my, what I think is that TVA is like, oh, the bad guys, but I'm like, oh, they kind of have a good purpose.
They just like, you know, maybe he could have led it a little bit different, but I guess the trade-off or the ultimatum here is like free will is taken so that you could have order
and peace.
And peace. And otherwise, it's just like chaos. So,
yeah. And then we get a Loki kiss.
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
that. He feels incesty, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's just okay enough, you know?
But you're still kind of like, ah.
If it was like Tom Hiddleston kissing Tom Hiddleston, would that feel weirder? Probably.
I feel like it'd be the same.
Maybe.
But then it's like actually kissing yourself rather than like a multiverse.
Which I think is weirder, right?
No, because then it doesn't feel like you're kissing yourself, because it's not like your actual face.
Well, yeah, the Sylvie one is less weird than if Tom Hiddleston were to just like kiss himself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows? I wonder what, she ended up killing Kang, so now there's a bunch of different universes, and it was hinted at the end that shit's going down. I didn't really understand the end too much. Like,
so,
I understand that there's now multiple timelines, and now Loki's probably in one where there's tons of like Mobius variants and the other girl variants.
Yeah,
because Mobius didn't know who Loki was, right? So
I think it's a thing to where like there's, yeah, like multiple Mobiuses that just work in the TVA for some reason
now. Yeah.
So
who knows what that's about now.
And then there's a huge statue of Kang.
Yeah.
So I think it's already like looped.
I think so.
You know, like,
I think he was just kicked into a random timeline.
A bunch of multiverses, and they all just like, and then the one Kang like conquered.
Yeah.
And then, but there's still multiple multiverses.
I think there's multiple Kangs.
Universes. I think it's just the one, because like, why would he have a statue?
Because he said if he's killed, then the evil versions of him will come back. So I think that like, that's already happened. Sylvie kills him. Loki gets booted into a timeline where there's a bunch of Kangs that are trying to take over now. Or something
right,
like that.
But I think what happened is like that. All that happened is like a bunch of different Kangs, but then it gone through the cycle again of there just being one because they all wanted power, and that's
that
the one
be
that
too,
has
yeah.
a statue
mm-hmm.
because the TVA doesn't really exist in time.
Yeah,
he's able to just go straight to that.
Okay,
because it was, those multiverses happen beyond the end of time.
Okay, yeah, it's all very confusing.
I liked this one. I liked Loki's like my favorite Marvel show so far.
Really,
just because. Big concept shit.
It definitely is weird shit.
And so
for sure,
I just like made me think the most, and then it just like it got so big and scaled. So I was like, fuck, and it was like kind of scary, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of weird that it's just everything. All 23 movies and 3 shows or whatever were all just on like one timeline, and now there's infinite amount, and so lots of things can happen, you know? So it's kind of crazy.
It's funny that like the concept of time travel has kind of been like drilled into like pop culture, that it works like kind of the one way,
yeah,
like in Back to the Future, but then they're just able to create a different way of how it works,
kind of.
Yeah, because like if you take something from the past and then that creates a branch reality,
that's just the butterfly effect.
I know, but that makes it seem like it changes the main timeline.
Yeah, true.
And but this way there's like both timelines, but one doesn't have an Infinity Stone, then
it's
one
just
kind
of like focusing in on that idea, I guess, a
yeah
little bit more. They didn't like, I don't think they created anything like new, but it's just like a different way of looking at it.
Feels different,
but yeah, it definitely
but ultimately
is,
just makes like another.
There
universe,
are different rules,
which is how the multiverse split up.
There are different rules that are in the Marvel universe that are just slightly confusing, and I think it's just confusing enough to where they could just do cool shit with it, and I'm okay with it. I don't need to understand it all.
I think it was still like explained well by like the.
I think so.
The
yeah,
ancient stuff.
Yeah. So
Very cool. Exciting. I did not think they'd have Kang. I thought it'd be like another Loki or someone that's been there the whole time. But I didn't think they'd introduce...
Kang makes sense.
Yeah, it made the most sense.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think they'd introduce like a big bad, you know?
Yeah, I like his portrayal too by Jonathan Majors, I think is his name.
He's
just
awesome.
Kind of like Loki, honestly.
It kind of feels like a lot of portrayals of characters that don't have a lot of personality are kind of have this like kind of Joker-esque spin on it. Like think of like Black Mask. He's just like a big gangster, mean all the time.
Yeah.
And then Ewan McGregor has like this kind of spunk to him. And yeah. Like has like a lot of personality.
Oh, I see.
And so I feel that's the kind of same thing that Kang is doing. Because I just thought it was
just having
big,
a good time.
This big brooding Galactus kind of character.
Yeah. He's not very serious, but to be fair, like.
But he was like a lot more fun. He had personality and he was like a real person.
I mean, I'd be excited if I was by myself for literally millennia, millions of years. And then all of a sudden two people come to visit.
I just kept thinking about how much his like,
what does he do?
His mind just had to break.
Yeah. What does he do all day? Does he just talk to Miss Minutes?
Make sure that, well, I guess he's like kind of organized. He's organizing the TVA and making sure that maintains the order.
That's fair.
And he's like puppeteering the timekeepers.
Hmm. And maybe his hobby is controlling whatever magnetic dust thing that creates structures to explain things to people,
and then
that's just his hobby.
Oh yeah, that shit was cool.
Yeah.
And then with how long he's been around, it's just got to be so annoying to rewatch the same shit because he knows it happens.
He knows it.
Damn. Yeah.
I would say WandaVision I'd like just a little bit more, but they're both pretty close. I think I
liked it because it was the first thing and I had low expectations for it. It just ended up being really exciting, kind of a mystery kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I did like that a lot, but time travel shit is just,
I think,
like,
Loki probably ended a little bit better. And we know it's getting a season 2, so it's like the fact that some things didn't wrap up completely is I'm okay with, because there is a season 2. Like, that's how television works.
And it actually feels like this one will impact the other movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think WandaVision will too, right? Because
I think WandaVision will probably just show up in
White Vision, and then Wanda's better at stuff now, and maybe Agatha will come up again. So,
yeah, that's fair.
So tons of things. I think just WandaVision did crazier shit in the beginning and maybe didn't end as well, but I think I still like WandaVision a bit more.
Okay.
None of them are bad by any means.
I've loved them all.
Yeah. So pretty cool. We also watched Black Widow.
We did. We watched it last night.
Last night. So it's fresh in the nog.
I'm glad nothing was spoiled for me. I've really tried to stay away.
I got really close to having shit spoiled for me. So.
Yeah, definitely.
What I didn't realize is that Yelena, the actor, is the one in Midsommar.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was so stoked about that.
I didn't pick that up at all.
I was really glad that she's got like a place in the MCU now.
Yeah, she's an awesome actor.
She's also in this movie about like WWE with like The Rock in it. It's called like Fighting With My Family.
Yep.
I watched it with mom.
Was it a good movie?
It was pretty good.
All right, nice.
Yeah,
Black Widow. Pretty cool. Definitely doesn't feel like a typical Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Up until the end.
Right, yeah.
But it feels very espionage and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a bunch of shit going on. It's like, we gotta go get this guy so that he can tell me where this thing is. And like all that stuff they did really well. And then the third act was pretty crazy. Spoilers, I guess, but I didn't expect the Red Room to be in the sky.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I mean, like, I liked the whole movie and everything that they changed, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like the idea that's just in Russia somewhere, and no one really knows where it is because it's so cause it's big, you
That's
know?
What I was expecting, and I think that that's kind of what everybody else is expecting. It just feels weird that like this thing is up in the clouds and no one has noticed.
Yeah, I don't know if we really need that. It's just like another helicarrier that doesn't move kind
of
thing.
Yeah.
This is what it reminded me of.
But there's really great action scenes.
I loved like the jailbreaks a lot for some reason.
The jailbreak scene?
Where they break out
of the Red Guardian. Room? Yeah. Oh, yeah. From prison in Russia.
Yeah, I thought his character was really fun.
Yeah, that's part of the fun like espionage stuff that I feel like we don't really get to see as much in the Marvel Universe. Because it's like, oh, cute, you got like a little Red Guardian doll. And it's like, oh, it's an earpiece. And it's like, all right, you got to go here now. You know, and then there's a whole break. So it's really fun. And David Harbour was totally... like the most enjoyable character, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think I just kind of like him because I've seen him in other things and he played like a character.
Yeah, he's just a big goof.
And he's super tatted up.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, it's more tattoos than
he's got a beard. More superheroes need beards because everyone, every single superhero that has a beard is awesome.
And they shave it for some reason.
Yeah. But yeah, all that stuff is cool.
Did they kind of like retcon like the headmistress, do you think, with like that character who's like the big bad?
Yosh, Yorkev? Yashkev?
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever his name is.
I don't know if he's...
Yeah, that's the idea, I think.
I think I would have preferred it if like they had a little bit closer to the source material. I was really hoping... You know, I've seen the trailer, so I'm like, oh, this is kind of more modern day. But I would have liked a lot more like origin kind of stuff.
I think so, too.
Like, we got like 10 minutes of that. And then a montage of her kind of growing up, I guess, and what the Red Room was like.
Mm-hmm. Dreykov is his
Dreykov,
name.
Dreykov, yeah. Is he in comics? I'm sure he's a character. He's not like what the headmistress basically.
No. I feel like it would have made more sense if it was headmistress.
Yeah, just have like a, you know, it's like a lady MCU movie and then lady bad guys.
Yeah, that makes like sense. That. So, I don't think so. Doesn't look like he's... Hold on. Yeah, because when I look up just Dreykov, it comes up with the actor, so...
Okay. I think...
It looks like he is a comic book character, but he doesn't...
Like, not that important.
No. They just, like, kind of picked one, I think.
What so, I understand why they did is, like, all the girls in the Red Room were, like, brainwashed with, like, some sort of chemical thing that makes them obedient.
And there's a red little dust. Powder dust that breaks that.
Snaps them out of it.
Yep.
I think from what I understand in the Red Room, it's just they're spies and they have this like nationalism to them to where they're
which is
to Mother Russia, or maybe like it's out of fear.
Yeah,
and I think that makes it a little more interesting rather than just like, oh,
because that's what I thought Natasha was she did she get a red dust?
I think that's newer, so I don't think that was something that she had to get broken.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, probably.
But so. It makes sense because, like, you know, that's why Taskmaster was looking for that kind of thing. But
Taskmaster was really cool.
Yeah, I like that because, like, I don't know Taskmaster's, like, name. So it could really be anybody.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either.
So that they seem like it bothered, like, some people. But, like, whose favorite character is, like, Taskmaster, you know?
I think a lot of people. I think really? A lot of people really liked it. I really like Taskmaster.
Taskmaster's cool, but I don't know if he's, like, my favorite, so I'd want him to be exactly how, like, some book is, you know?
I think the design ended up working, and at first I was, like, kind of against it.
They're not just going to have, like, some skull-faced dude.
Yeah,
like
they could. I mean, they kind of went with that anyway. But just the main thing is that you could tell that he learns people's fight styles and uses it, which is the cool part. And right. I like the way that they portrayed that, which is just like the little screen on like the eyes, and he's like studying like Civil War fights. So when like Black Panther's fighting Hawkeye, he implements like Black Panther fighting style like at the end of the movie,
yeah, with,
like the claws and everything. So I think that was really cool, and just the fact that it was Dreykov's daughter. Also pretty cool. So
yeah,
I was cool with that. Yeah, they did a Metroid, which is you know all that.
The big bad that looks, you think it's a dude, but ends up being a chick. That's like, badass.
Takes off his helmet and it's just a girl. So pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I think those fight scenes were cool. He uses like bows and arrows, and obviously learned some from Captain America because he's throwing a shield around. So yeah, very cool. And
I was hoping to see like, was there a... Oh, there was an arrow because he shot at like the cars in the chase.
Yeah, there was arrows.
I was like, I thought he had a bow, but yeah, he uses that like once. Or
and
she used
it. There's just good family dynamic. I think the sisters act like actual sisters.
Yeah.
And they're more like kind of on their team, or like they're stronger with like each other. And then when there's like the family scene, it's like we're both kind of on the same page. You guys were shitty parents. So they like kind of bond over that at the same time. So pretty cool stuff.
But they weren't like, it wasn't like actually their parents, like they were just assigned together for like the mission. So that was interesting. I didn't know that. I thought they were all like biological.
It feels like this movie would have been more effective if it came out like 5 years ago,
just because
it is right after Civil War, or even just before Endgame, like before she dies, you know, before we know that she dies. Because I am interested in the time between them breaking out of the ocean prison, whatever it's called, and just to where they are in Endgame. Because there's still
Infinity War.
Infinity War, sorry. Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that's unexplored. But it just doesn't... Just going into this knowing that she's not going to like die in this movie or whatever. But like, I kind of know what happens after this.
I had a feeling there'd be like an after credit thing where she's just like still alive for some reason.
Yeah.
It
turns out that like Milena was the one that was Black Widow, and she's had the Mission Impossible mask on.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It definitely could have. And I think maybe people would see it as a bit stronger just because like it was along with other solo movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. So,
but
it could have been like a in between Infinity War and Endgame movie too.
I guess they can like continue to just have movies in between other things forever because there's just like so much time that passes between a lot of them.
True,
but it sounds like the rest of them will be like
just kind of going forward.
Yeah, there won't be any like between quels or prequel kind of things.
Yeah, I just think it would have been probably just more effective if it was released earlier.
Yeah, I still really liked it though. I don't think there's anything I disliked about it.
Yeah, me neither. I think it's good action. Cool devices and stuff that she uses on her gauntlets and
I feel
that,
like this one is a lot more like fight choreography heavy. Like there's just like a lot more fight scenes because there wasn't like superpowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that was really fun. I think that's how it should.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so good stuff.
Definitely. And talk about the after credits scene.
Oh yeah, the bitch that was in Captain America and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier.
What's her name? Nancy.
Valentina, I think.
Something like that. I guess Yelena works for her.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know what that.
She said it, her like day off, and she.
Yeah. Valentina is her name, but yeah, she tasks Yelena with fighting the person that killed Black Widow, which is Hawkeye.
Yeah.
In her eyes, so it's pretty spicy.
So I guess maybe she'll pop up in Hawkeye.
A good old misunderstanding.
Yeah, we love that. So
why Hawkeye, talk things out when you can just fight?
Hawkeye will be one episode because it'll be like, oh no, this is what happened. And oh, okay, that's fine.
He'll be like, why are you fighting me? And then she'll be like, you killed Natasha. And he's like, what? Who told you that?
You don't understand.
How do you even know? I was on a different planet.
She sacrificed. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't expect you to understand, but she had to die so that...
we had to get the Infinity Stone so we can turn back time. And
Red Skull was there. It was kind of weird.
You remember when
I really tried to kill myself? You gotta believe me.
You remember when everyone was snapped away?
Yeah.
We need to go back.
She tripped me, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah,
I even grabbed her over the edge, and she stopped me. So it was her fault.
Yeah. So.
So, I guess I don't know if that's gonna be like the premise of Hawkeye or what. I assume it'll definitely be a big part.
I didn't think that the movies would touch on like the shows, but as much as like the shows touch on like the movies, like they seem like equals now. It's not like the shows are like, oh, this is just for fun.
Yeah.
It's actually got, you know, to it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's fun. That's good.
It is good.
How it should
be. Cool. That's everything I have to say about both of those things. Good stuff. It's good to see a Marvel movie because it's been like almost 2 years, probably.
Long time.
Since Spider-Man.
Dude, I feel like we got a lot coming this year, and it's just going to hit us like back to back.
Tons. Yeah, like what comes next? Doctor Strange?
No, Doctor Strange is in March.
Eternals, I think, is next, right?
So we got like Eternals, we got
Spider-Man.
Fucking Spider-Man, we got Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi, yeah.
Then like Suicide Squad's in there.
Yeah, tons of shit.
and then I think we have like two more shows coming this year. I think like Hawkeye's supposed to come out this year.
I think Hawkeye's next. I'm going to look that up too.
I don't know what is like officially next, but it seems like it's a lot. So that's good. We're not going to be bored.
Yeah. Hawkeye is late 2021. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, we love it.
So that's the show. Or no, we got to figure out what we're reading next week.
Do you want to do a Robson Rocha book?
Is there some good stuff that he's been in? Tons of good stuff,
probably. I think like the only thing where it's just him as the artist is like Green Lanterns, like the first trade, or like that Kelly Sue DeConnick Aquaman book.
Right. I think we should just pick something to do.
Okay, we'll cut that out then.
Yeah.
We got fucking, what's it called, we got Space Jam coming out. You want to do a Looney Tunes comic?
No, I don't want to do Looney Tunes comic.
Why not? It'd be fun. Dude,
what Looney Tunes comic is there?
Dude, there's just Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes is an ongoing comic book.
No, don't want to do it.
Why not? When are we ever going to do Looney Tunes again? Yeah, never.
Find me a Looney Tunes comic.
Okay. Oh, dude, there's actually a trade of all of DC meets Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but...
that could be fun.
Maybe.
So we got, you know, Batman, Elmer Fudd, Jonah Hanks, Yosemite Sam, Wonder Woman, Tasmanian Devil, Lobo, Roadrunner, Martian Manhunter, Marvin the Martian, Legion of Superheroes, Bugs Bunny. And then there's...
I would rather do just a Looney Tunes book rather than the crossovers, I think.
Looney Tunes Greatest Hits?
Maybe.
Or let's just look at trades.
Should we do like we've been doing big twos, right?
So yeah.
Is it time for an independent?
All right, fine. You don't want to do Looney Tunes.
We could do Bone because it was his 30th anniversary.
Hold on. I had other ideas.
We could do...
You want to do more or we could do Rick and Morty since that's still coming out.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down to do a Rick and Morty trade because those were what, by Boom?
I think so. Or Oni Press?
Oni Press? I think you're right in saying that. Yeah, Rick and Morty.
I spelled Morty.
Volume 1. Yeah, by Oni Press.
Yeah, it's called... Wait, no, hold up. What's the first volume called?
I just went to Rick and Morty. I think it's called Ever After. Is that what it is? Oh, no. Just kidding. It's
Rick and Morty Volume 1 by Zach Gorman and Mark Ellerby.
Yep.
This one?
Yep, that's the one.
All right, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's on Unlimited 2. We like that.
Yeah. So let's see how it translates. I imagine it'd be pretty wacky and groovy. So I'm down to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because I feel like this would actually work really well because there's not a ton of continuity.
No.
So you could just have these spinoff ones. Doesn't really need to fit anywhere.
There's like a lot of Rick and Morty comics too, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's like ongoing.
There's
94 issues, I guess, or 94 books.
74 issues individually.
See, that's fucking nuts.
That's insane. This is like a very popular, like this has more issues than Chew.
Does this have more issues than episodes of Rick and Morty?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn. Well,
there's only like four seasons.
Yeah, four seasons.
There's a Rick and Morty Go to Hell. Oh, there's 60 issues of Rick and Morty normally. And
okay.
Then there's Rick and Morty Go to Hell, Rick and Morty Ever After, Worlds Apart, and Rick's New Hat.
Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah, I'm down to do Rick and Morty.
Okay,
sounds
cool.
Sounds fun. So Rick and Morty Volume 1 next week.
Next week, baby. Sounds good.
Do your best Morty impression.
What the fuck?
Or do your
the
best
son's
Rick.
Son's lost again.
Oh, what the fuck? There's a theory that has remained to be true, but every time I work out and watch like the first quarter of the Suns game, they win.
Really?
And it's worked ever since they've been in like the semifinals.
So I haven't watched the last two games, so I think I'm the reason they're losing.
No, but this has been a thing ever since they were going up against like the, what was it, the Clippers?
Really?
Yeah. Literally every single game of that series.
Was it the Nuggets and then the Clippers? The Lakers. They played the Lakers first round.
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Of the playoffs.
The theory doesn't apply to them, for that. But yeah.
Did you watch the Nuggets games when they sweeped them?
Who was the one before this?
The Clippers.
I've only watched it from the Clippers.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, oh my God, the Suns are in the playoffs?
Wow, they're in the Western Finals? Wow.
Oh, that's crazy. I should pay attention now.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So when's the next time they play? I'm going to work out that day.
I think Friday.
Okay, I'll work out. And then watch it work.
Because that'll be game 5.
Exciting stuff.
I know. Scary stuff, dude.
Good comic book content we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Nathan Moss, for our music. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at tradewriterspod@gmail.com. If we missed any big series in the new game show we just made up,
yeah,
then let us know.
School us.
If there's a good candidate for that game, let us know. I think it'd be really fun for anybody that like we have on the show as guests to do that. So like if we ever get like Chip Zdarsky on again, then
should we have him name stuff?
Yeah, like we'll give him an artist because he's in the industry. He's bound to know like a bunch. If we give him like an easy one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think give him like fun. Somebody that's worked on his comic books.
Like do like Matt Fraction and then he has to like
who's
name
Stillwater.
Ramon Perez. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah.
He'd be like, ah, fuck.
Or like name all the Chris Anka.
Or like all the Matt Fraction books.
Yeah. Yeah. I said that like Matt Fraction and he had to name like all of his big two stuff, all of his independent. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, tradewaiterspod@gmail.com, tradewaiterspod on Twitter. I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Dan Antividad.
And talk to you next week.
All right.
Talk at you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.